Four more intriguing topics on the historical Jesus by Marco Marina. The previous post provided a summary of the first four lectures given by internationally known historical Jesus scholars at our New Insights into the New Testament conference at the end of September. The summary was produced by Marco Marina in advance of the lectures. The second day of the conference also had four lectures by Paula Fredrickson, Boston University Emerita and Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Bart Urban himself from UNC Chapel Hill, James Tabor from UNC Charlotte Emeritus, and A.J. Levine from Hartford International University and Vanderbilt University Emerita. Well, sort of. James Tabor was in Athens and his internet went a bit haywire, so he had to record his talk later. It's included in the recording of the conference. In its place, I gave a rather impromptu additional talk on whether Jesus was probably literate. So here are Marco's summaries of the lectures made in advance of the conference itself. Dr. Paula Fredrickson, turning the tables on the purification of the temple. All scholarship, as the saying goes, stands on the shoulders of those who came before. Yet the task of every historian is also to move the conversation forward, testing inherited theories and proposing new interpretations where the evidence allows. In this lecture, Dr. Paula Fredrickson, one of the most influential voices in the study of early Christianity, turns her attention to one of the most iconic episodes in the Gospels, Jesus' disruption in the temple. Building on and challenging the seminal work of E.P. Sanders, she revisits the incident not by focusing on what Jesus might have said, but by probing what he might actually have done or not done at all. Sanders, of course, famously argued that Jesus' actions in overturning the tables should be read as a prophetic gesture, a symbolic foreshadowing of the temple's eschatological destruction and eventual restoration. Since then, many scholars have accepted the idea of a prophetic gesture, but retained the traditional assumption that Jesus carried it out because he opposed the temple's practices. Fredrickson offers a strikingly different proposal. Drawing on evidence from Mark, John, and the letters of Paul, she contends that Jesus neither performed such a symbolic act nor prophesied the destruction of the temple in this way. Instead, she invites us to reconsider the entire framework in which the story has been read. For me, this is precisely the kind of lecture that makes New Insights so intellectually stimulating. To hear a scholar of Fredrickson's stature propose a fresh, unconventional reading of a well-worn episode is both challenging and exciting. Personally, I look forward to seeing how she constructs her case and what implications it may have for our broader understanding of Jesus' relation to the temple, a central institution in Jewish life. This is scholarship at its best, not content with recycling familiar arguments, but pushing us to ask new questions, debate alternative possibilities, and rethink assumptions that have long gone unexamined. More than a century ago, the French Catholic scholar Alfred Loisy famously remarked, Jésus annonçait le royaume et c'est l'Église qui est venue. Or if you prefer, Jesus announced the kingdom and it was the church that arrived. With this pithy phrase, Loisy underscored the profound discontinuity between Jesus' own proclamation and the message of the movement that later bore his name. In this lecture, Dr. Bart D. Ehrman, one of the foremost authorities on the historical Jesus, returns to this tension with a particularly interesting and promising focus, Jesus's teaching on repentance and forgiveness. According to the Gospels, Jesus insisted that those who returned to God would be forgiven freely without penalty, sacrifice, or mediation. Yet within a generation, Jesus's followers proclaimed that forgiveness came only through Jesus's own death, understood as an atoning sacrifice. Dr. Ehrman will explore how and why this fundamental reversal took place. The significance of this question is difficult to overstate. If central to Jesus' message was the immediacy of divine forgiveness for the repentant, then the Christian proclamation that only through Christ's death could sin be absolved represents a decisive shift in theological orientation. What accounts for such a dramatic transformation? I'm especially eager to hear how Dr. Ehrman frames this development. To my mind, the interpretive gap between Jesus and his earliest followers is one of the most important factors in the rise of Christianity. Without it, the small apocalyptic movement around Jesus could never have become the most influential religion in Western history. Moreover, Dr. Ehrman has a unique ability to present such complex historical and theological transitions in a nuanced yet approachable way. And I anticipate that his lecture will illuminate not only the origins of Christian doctrine, but also the broader processes by which religious movements adapt and transform in the wake of crisis. Dr. James Tabor, The Making of a Messiah, How the Gospel Shaped Jesus, or How Jesus Shaped the Gospels. One could argue that the question of prophecy and fulfillment is as old as Christianity itself. One thinks immediately of the second century dialogue between Justin Martyr and the Jewish philosopher Trypho. For Justin, the Hebrew scriptures pointed directly to Jesus, whose life and death literally fulfilled ancient prophecies. But for Trypho, such claims were little more than inventions, just Christian efforts to retrofit Israel's sacred texts onto the story of Jesus. This tension has never disappeared, and it remains one of the most fascinating and difficult issues in New Testament scholarship. In his lecture, Dr. James Tabor revisits the problem, not through the lens of ancient polemics, but with the tools of modern historical inquiry. Dr. Tabor will examine how the gospel writers wove citations and allusions from the Hebrew Bible into their narratives of Jesus' final days, portraying him as the long-awaited fulfillment of prophecy. In many cases, these references are clearly literary insertions designed to shape the story. However, Dr. Tabor raises a more provocative possibility, namely that in some instances, Jesus himself, aware of his redemptive role, may have acted deliberately in ways that could later be seen as fulfilling scripture. His lecture will explore whether historical methods could help us to untangle this chicken or egg question. Did the prophecies shape the Gospels Jesus, or did Jesus' own actions shape how the Gospels framed him? This question cuts to the core of theology and history, but also psychology and memory studies. I find this lecture particularly compelling because it brings methodology to the forefront. How do we, as historians, distinguish between scriptural retrojection and historical recollection? Can we responsibly decide whether Jesus consciously aligned his actions with scriptural patterns, or whether later authorities imposed these patterns upon him? These aren't only technical questions, but ones that cut to the heart of how the early Christian movement understood both Jesus and the scriptures of Israel. I'm very eager to see how Dr. Tabor approaches this problem, what methodological principles he will employ, and whether his analysis will suggest new ways of reading the interplay between prophecy and history in the Gospels.